The next LOS asks us to explain return-generating models, including the market model, and their uses. Return-generating models are used to estimate the expected returns on risky securities based on specific factors. For each security, we must estimate the sensitivity of its returns to each specific factor. Factors that explain security returns can be classified as macroeconomic, fundamental, and statistical factors. Multifactor models most commonly use macroeconomic factors such as GDP growth, inflation, or consumer confidence, along with fundamental factors such as earnings, earnings growth, firm size, and research expenditures. Statistical factors often have no basis in finance theory and are suspect in that they may represent only relations for a specific time period, which have been identified by repeated tests on a single data set. The general form of a multifactor model with K factors is as follows. The expected return on security I minus the risk-free rate equals beta I1 times the expected value of factor 1 plus beta I2 times the expected value of factor 2, and so on through beta IK times the expected value of factor K. This model states that the expected excess return above the risk-free rate for asset I is the sum of each factor sensitivity, or factor loading, the betas, for asset I, multiplied by the expected value of that factor for the period. The first factor is often the expected excess return on the market. One multifactor model that is often used is that of Fama and French. They estimated the sensitivity of security returns to three factors: firm size, firm book value to market value ratio, and the excess return on the market portfolio. Carhart suggests a fourth factor that measures price momentum using prior period returns. Together, these four factors do a relatively good job of explaining returns differences for U.S. equity securities over the period for which the model has been estimated. The simplest factor model is a single-factor model. A single-factor model with the return on the market as its only risk factor can be written in excess returns form as follows. The expected return on security I minus the risk-free rate equals beta I times the quantity, the expected return on the market minus the risk-free rate. Here, the expected excess return, or the return above the risk-free rate, is the product of the factor weight or factor sensitivity, beta I, and the risk factor, which in this model is the excess return on the market portfolio or market index, so that this is also sometimes called a single index model. A simplified form of a single index model is the market model, which is used to estimate a security's or portfolio's beta and to estimate a security's abnormal return, which is its return above its expected return based on the actual market return. The form of the market model is as follows. Return on asset I equals alpha I plus beta I times the market return plus abnormal return on asset I. The intercept, alpha I, and slope coefficient, beta I, are estimated from historical return data. We can require that alpha I is the risk-free rate times the quantity 1 minus beta I to be consistent with the general form of a single index model in excess returns form. The expected return on asset I is alpha I plus beta I times the expected return on the market. A deviation from the expected return in a given period is the abnormal return on asset I. In the market model, the factor sensitivity, or beta, for asset I is a measure of how sensitive the return on asset I is to the return on the overall market portfolio. The next LOS requires us to calculate and interpret beta. The sensitivity of an asset's return to the return on the market index in the context of the market model is referred to as its beta. Beta is a standardized measure of the covariance of the asset's return with the market return. Beta for asset I can be calculated as the covariance of asset I's return with the market return divided by the variance of the market return. Substituting correlation times the product of standard deviations for covariance in the equation, we can also calculate beta as the correlation of asset I's return with the market return times the ratio of asset I's risk to market risk. In practice, we estimate asset betas by regressing returns on the asset on those of the market index. While regression is a level 2 concept, for our purposes, you can think of it as a mathematical estimation procedure that fits a line to a data plot. The least squares regression line is the line that minimizes the sum of the squared distances of the points plotted from the line. The slope of this line is our estimate of beta. This regression line is referred to as the asset's characteristic line. Mathematically, the slope of the characteristic line is the covariance of asset I's return with the market return, divided by the variance of the market return, which is the same formula we used earlier to calculate beta. The next LOS is to explain the capital asset pricing model, or CAPM, including its assumptions, and the security market line, or SML. Given that the only relevant risk for an individual asset is measured by the covariance between the asset's returns and the returns on the market, we can plot the relationship between risk and return for individual assets using covariance with the market as our measure of systematic risk. The resulting line is one version of what is referred to as the security market line, or SML. The equation of the SML can be stated as expected return on asset I equals the risk-free rate plus the beta of asset I times the market risk premium. This is the most common means of describing the SML, and this relation between beta or systematic risk and expected return is known as the capital asset pricing model, or CAPM. So we can define beta as a standardized measure of systematic risk. Beta measures the relation between a security's excess returns and the excess returns to the market portfolio. The CAPM holds that, in equilibrium, the expected return on a risky asset is the risk-free rate plus a beta-adjusted market risk premium. Beta measures systematic risk. It is important to recognize that the CML and SML are very different. The CML uses total risk on the x-axis. Hence, only efficient portfolios will plot on the CML. On the other hand, the SML uses beta on the x-axis. So, in a CAPM world, all properly priced securities and portfolios of securities will plot on the SML. In fact, all stocks and portfolios with the same beta will plot at the same point on the SML. For example, all securities and portfolios with a beta of 1, including the market portfolio, will plot at the point on the SML with beta equal to 1 and expected return equal to the expected return on the market, regardless of their total risk. The next LOS is to calculate and interpret the expected return of an asset using the CAPM. The CAPM is one of the most fundamental concepts in investment theory. The CAPM is an equilibrium model that predicts the expected return on a stock given the expected return on the market, the stock's beta coefficient, and the risk-free rate. For example, assume the expected return on the market is 15%, the risk-free rate is 8%, and the beta for stock A is 1.2. The rate of return that would be expected on stock A is 8% plus 1.2 times the quantity 15% minus 8%, which equals 16.4%. Because beta for stock A is greater than 1, its expected return is greater than that of the market. Continuing this example, let's look at stock B, which has a beta of 0.8. The expected or required return on stock B is 8% plus 0.8 times the quantity 15% minus 8%, which equals 13.6%. Because beta is less than 1 for stock B, its expected return is less than that of the market. Our next LOS is to describe and demonstrate applications of the CAPM and the SML. We have used beta to estimate a security's expected return based on our estimate of the risk-free rate and the expected return on the market. In equilibrium, a security's expected return and its required return by investors are equal. Therefore, we can use the CAPM to estimate a security's required return. Because the SML shows the equilibrium required return for any security or portfolio based on its beta or systematic risk, analysts often compare their forecast of a security's return to its required return based on its beta risk. A security is overvalued if its forecast return is less than its expected return based on its systematic risk. It plots below the SML. A security is undervalued if its forecast return is greater than its expected return based on its systematic risk. It plots above the SML. If its forecast return is equal to its expected return based on systematic risk, a security is properly valued. It plots on the SML. When we evaluate the performance of a portfolio with risk that differs from that of a benchmark, we need to adjust the portfolio returns for the risk of the portfolio. There are several measures of risk-adjusted returns that are used to evaluate relative portfolio performance. One such measure is the Sharpe ratio. The Sharpe ratio of a portfolio is its excess returns per unit of total portfolio risk. Higher Sharpe ratios indicate better risk-adjusted portfolio performance. Note that this is a slope measure. The Sharpe ratios of all portfolios along the CML are the same. Because the Sharpe ratio uses total risk rather than systematic risk, it accounts for any unsystematic risk that the portfolio manager has taken. Note that the value of the Sharpe ratio is only useful for comparison with the Sharpe ratio of another portfolio. The M-squared measure produces the same portfolio rankings as the Sharpe ratio, but is stated in percentage terms. Two measures of risk-adjusted returns based on systematic risk rather than total risk are the Trainer measure and Jensen's alpha. They are similar to the Sharpe ratio and M-squared in that the Trainer measure is based on slope and Jensen's alpha is a measure of percentage returns in excess of those from a portfolio that has the same beta but lies on the SML. The Trainer measure is calculated as a portfolio's return in excess of the risk-free rate divided by the portfolio's beta and is interpreted as excess returns per unit of systematic risk. Jensen's alpha is calculated as a portfolio's return in excess of the risk-free rate minus its beta times the market risk premium, and is the percentage portfolio return above that of a portfolio with the same beta as the portfolio that lies on the SML. Whether risk adjustment should be based on total risk or systematic risk depends on whether a fund bears the non-systematic risk of a manager's portfolio. If a single manager is used, then the total risk, including any non-systematic risk, is the relevant measure, and risk adjustment using total risk, as with the Sharpe and M-squared measures, is appropriate. If a fund uses multiple managers so that the overall fund portfolio is well diversified, then performance measures based on systematic risk, such as the Trainer measure and Jensen's alpha, are appropriate. These measures of risk-adjusted returns are often used to compare the performance of actively managed funds to passively managed funds. Note that portfolios that lie above the CML have Sharpe ratios greater than those of any portfolios along the CML and have positive M-squared measures. Similarly, portfolios that lie above the SML have Trainer measures greater than those of any security or portfolio that lies along the SML, and also have positive values for Jensen's alpha. One final note of caution is that estimating the values needed to apply these theoretical models and performance measures is often difficult and is done with error. The expected return on the market, and thus the market risk premium, may not be equal to its average historical value. Estimating security and portfolio betas is done with error as well.